Allow me to read an article in today's bulletin from Charles Spurgeon. He writes, "The Bible was not given to teach me history, but to teach me grace. Not to teach me worldly wisdom, but the wisdom of God. Therefore, salvation and the way to God is to be found in the Scriptures and in the Scriptures only. He who does not always preach and teach the Scriptures ought not to be called a minister of God." I'll tell you, folks, and nobody sees this more than John Reeves standing before you this morning, how unworthy I am to talk to anyone about God's Word. But when I do talk to people about God's Word, I hope and pray that I can be very clear. This is not a history book, but it's a grace book. It's about the grace of God for His people. And in talking to you or anyone at any time, I pray that it is the grace of God that I portray to you. The grace and the love that He has for His people. The love that lifts us up out of the darkness of this world into the light of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's what He's done for Peter. Along with all of God's children, there are still those sheep who must come to hear God's Word. And so that's why time continues to go on for us in this world. There are still those that must hear the Word of God preached. There are still those who belong to the Lord Jesus Christ, who He has paid their sins in full when He hung upon that cross, that must be called. He says in His Word, sheep that are not of this fold. Those who have not been called, who don't even know their sheep yet. And Peter, one of God's chosen children, a man who, just like you and I, was a man of the world at one time, living our lives according to our ways, was called by the Lord Jesus as the Lord Jesus passed by. And that path began for Peter, the path to becoming the apostle of Christ. And we've been following this path, and we've come to the book of Acts, and we're in chapter 2. And last week, Peter was declaring the truths of who Christ is. You'll recall that in Acts 2:22, we read these words, "Ye men of Israel," says Peter, "hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God among you by miracles and wonders and signs, which God did by Him in the midst of you, as ye yourselves also know." He was declaring Christ to be King of all kings, the Creator of everything. He declared His sovereignty in His death next, even though wicked hands were the instrument. In verse 23 of chapter 2, we read these words, "Him being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God." He was delivered by God, by the foreknowledge of God. It was a covenant that was made between God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit before anything was ever made. He goes on to say, after declaring the counsel and foreknowledge of God, that ye men, those very ones who stood in front of Peter, have taken this one and by wicked hands have crucified and slain. Do you realize that by wicked hands, our wicked hands, the Lord Jesus Christ was slain? He was slain for our purpose, for our good. It was by our sins that He died upon that cross and was separated from His Father. My God, why hast Thou forsaken Me?" Peter went on after that in verse 24 to declare His resurrection, the very one who went to the grave with the sins of all of His people upon Him, whom God hath raised up having loosed the pains of death. Why? Because it was not possible that he should be holden of it. Peter proclaimed the person and the work of the Lord Jesus Christ before those men. It was not possible for him to be holden of death. Peter spoke boldly of who this Jesus is, yet he did not just declare with his own words. No, he goes on to use Scripture in backing his statements. Men of God are just that, folks. This one who stands before you is nothing more than a man. I'm just like anyone else. You're just like anyone else. We're all sinners. We all have come short of the glory of God. We're fallible. We're saved sinners. We must refer to the only truths that we will find in this world, and that is the truths found in Holy Scripture. Don't look to our government for truth. Look to this for truth. You know that this tells us things about the world will wax worse and worse. You think things have been bad the last year? My sister wrote something, and I'm going to print it out and read it, I think, in Sunday's service, the 11 o'clock service. It was just absolutely wonderful. She said something to this effect. I'm going to have to kind of quote it off of memory a little bit. She said, "I've been praying that I want things to go back to the way they were." And then she said, "Then I stopped and started thinking about it. Wait a minute. Things weren't all that good before. What has the last year behind us really done to those who are Christians, to those who believe the truths of God's Word, to those who believe who Christ is, what He did, who He did it for, and where He is right now? What happened? What was the most gracious and wonderful thing of the year 2020? We got down on our knees and prayed to the Almighty. Isn't that what trials are all about? You want the truth, you go to God's Word for truth. Look with me, if you will, at verses 25 through 28 of Acts chapter 2. Remember, Peter is referring to the Old Testament Scriptures, the written Word of God. "For David speaketh concerning him," concerning Christ. He says, "I foresaw the Lord always before my face, for He is on my right hand, that I should not be moved." Now, I want to stop there for just a moment, because let's also remember this, that the Psalms are about our Lord and Savior as much as they are about David, who wrote the Psalms. Yes, they are prophetic verses that point us to Christ, of what Christ went through on the cross. But David also went through these very things too as a man, of which the Lord used those things to inspire him to write in a prophetical way of who the Lord Jesus Christ is and what would happen to him. David speaking concerning him, concerning the Lord Jesus Christ. And if you apply this to Christ, you see him saying, "I foresaw the Lord always before my face, for He is on my right hand, that I should not be moved. Therefore did my heart rejoice and my tongue was glad. Moreover also my flesh shall rest in hope, because Thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt Thou suffer Thine Holy One to see corruption." These words Peter quotes are the words of David used when prophesying the Lord's death in Psalms number 16. Would you hold your place here in Acts and go back? Let's look at Psalms number 16 and see what David was describing there. Beginning at verse 8 of the 16th Psalm. Psalms 16, verse 8. I have set the Lord always before me because he is at my right hand. I shall not be moved. Therefore my heart is glad and my glory rejoiceth. My flesh also shall rest in hope. For thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt thou suffer thine Holy One to see corruption. Do you see the resemblance of what David was doing? David was referring to Scripture for truth. Ye men of Israel have taken the Holy One with wicked hands and crucified him. These words Peter quotes are David's very words in prophesying. In every step, every move, every thought, the Lord of all glory, our Redeemer, sought to glorify his Father, doing his Father's will. He said this, he says, I foresaw the Lord always before me. And you don't need to turn here. Go back to our text in Acts chapter 2, actually. But allow me to quote from scriptures, some scriptures for you in regards to this our Lord and Savior always seeking the glory of God, doing his Father's will. In John 12, verses 28 through 32, we read this, Father, glorify thy name. Then came there a voice from heaven saying, I have both glorified it and will glorify it again. The people, therefore, that stood by and heard it, said that it thundered. Others said an angel spake it to him. And Jesus answered and said this, This voice came not because of me, but for your sakes. Now is the judgment of this world. Now shall the prince of this world be cast out. And I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me. John 17, verses 4 through 5, we read it this way. Our Lord speaking says, I have glorified thee on the earth. I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do. And now, O Father, glorify thou me with thine own self, with the glory which I had with thee before the world was. He is God, yes. With all the power and authority of God, yet he is also flesh. And as a man, he was sustained, he was strengthened in his work by the assurance of his Father's presence. Our Lord and Savior hungered. He thirsted. He tired. He was sleeping in a boat when men came to him and cried out, Do you not care about us? The storm above is overcoming the boat. And God Almighty stood up and said, Be still. And the sea was calm. This Jesus is God Almighty, sustained and strengthened by the work and the assurance of his Father's presence. He said, He is on my right hand that I should not be moved. In Isaiah 50, verses 5 through 7, we read this, The Lord God hath opened mine ear, and I was not rebellious, neither turned away back. I gave my back to the smiters and my cheeks to them that plucked off the hair. I hid not my face. Now picture Christ as Christ was being crucified, beaten, and smitten. Picture him saying these very words, I hid not my face from the shame and spitting, for the Lord God will help me. Therefore shall I not be confounded. Therefore have I set my face like a flint, and I know that I shall not be ashamed. Folks, our Savior faced his greatest trial with joyful confidence that he would, by his obedience unto death, both obtain the place of highest glory and save his people. Look at verses 26 and 28. 26 through 28. Therefore did my heart rejoice and my tongue was glad. Moreover, also my flesh shall rest in hope. Because thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt thou suffer thine Holy One to see corruption. Thou hast made known to me the ways of life. Thou shalt make me full of joy with thy countenance. We read in Philippians 2, verses 5 through 11, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. Being found in the fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him, and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven, and things in earth, and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. We also read in Hebrews 12, 1 through 3, wherefore seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us. Let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your own minds. In all these things, the person spoken of was not David, but David's Lord, Jesus Christ. Look at verse 29. Men and brethren, says Peter, let me freely speak unto you of the patriarch David, that he is both dead and buried, and his sepulcher is with us this day. I found what John Gill wrote about these verses, this verse 29, to be very interesting. Allow me to share this with you, where it says that he is both dead and buried, and his sepulcher is with us unto this day. John Gill writes this, it is a plain case and a certain matter of fact, which nobody disputes or denies, that David really died, and he was laid in the grave, and that his grave monument or tomb was still existent, so that he was not risen from the dead, and therefore the above citation could not respect him, but another, even the Messiah, and had been literally fulfilled in Jesus Christ. The Jews say that David died on the day of Pentecost, which was the very day on which the monument The Jews say that David died on the day of Pentecost, which was the very day on which Peter was now preaching. This is continuing the quote from John Gill. He was buried in Jerusalem, and his sepulcher monument was in being when Peter said these very words. Josephus relates that the sepulcher of David was opened by a people called the Hyrcanus, who took out of it 3,000 talents, and that it was afterwards opened again by Herod, which, if true, may serve to render credible what Peter says concerning its continuance in that day, though it may be questioned whether any such treasure was ever in it or taken out of it, and still less credible is the account which R. Benjamin gives of two men in his time who under the wall of Zion found a cave which led them to a large palace built on pillars of marble and covered with gold and silver, and within it was a table and a golden scepter and a crown of gold, and this, says that author, was the sepulcher of David, king of Israel. So, we have so much proof, said proof that David still lives, or still is buried and dead. So it's, we know it's not talking about David. We realize that it's talking about our Lord and Savior. And a child of God knows that that's what we do with Scripture. I read that article a moment ago. It's not to teach us history. It's to teach us the grace of God in our Lord and Savior becoming flesh. And how our Lord and Savior depended upon His Father just as you and I are, do. Now look, if you will, with me at verses 30 and 31, and I'll bring this to a close and just after that. Therefore, being a prophet, and knowing that God had sworn with an oath unto him, speaking of David, that of the fruit of his loins, according to the flesh, he would raise up Christ to sit on his throne, David knew by the promise of God that through his loins, the Lord Jesus Christ, the Messiah, would come. He, seeing this, before spake of the resurrection of Christ, that his soul was not left in hell, neither his flesh did he see corruption. Now in our next lesson, Lord willing, next Sunday, we'll continue and we'll study these verses more fully, but here are two facts that all men must face. And we'll see these in the remainder.